Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm in my home, and there's a demonstration out front, and I go to peek out the window, and there's a drone facing me. Well, whoever was running it turned it around quickly, and it crashed.
As I said, my friends, welcome to the Savage Nation. We have senility has set into the Senate. Dianne Feinstein thought that a toy airplane outside her window was a drone, and this is the woman who's in charge of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Welcome to the Savage Nation for this edition of the 18th of March in the year 2014. Today's topic really is include. I'll give you a title. I try to make a title for every day. The Rogue Presidency. The only thing he hasn't been able to trample on and crush is Vladimir Putin. He's crushed everything else in his path, including our borders, our language, and our culture. I have many things that I would like to talk about today, but it'll take me some time to get to them. Let's begin with the biggest news of the day. It's not about the missing plane or the missing first family going on another junket to China in a few weeks. That would be the first lady, the two first daughters, and of course, first lady's mother. You can't go anywhere without her. They will not release the costs of their junket to China. That's why I call it a rogue presidency. The only thing this presidency hasn't trampled and crushed is Vladimir Putin. But the big news is that the New York Senate, just minutes ago, actually Monday, rejected the Immigrant Student Dream Act. Congratulations, it was close. It was a 30-29 vote. The New York State Senate rejected a bill that would open up state tuition assistance to illegal alien students, dashing long-held hopes of advocates for illegal aliens, mainly the socialist Democrat regime that lives off the alien vote. This is a very big story because it would have cost the state about $25 million to open up tuition assistance program money for illegal alien students. And how this was blocked is beyond me in a state as corrupt as New York. I don't know the answer to it. But just know that it's good news because in Texas, New Mexico, California, and Washington State, all these states are now controlled by the illegal alien mafia and the lobbyists for them who control the state assemblies and the state senates and, of course, virtually every political office in these states as well depends entirely upon illegal alien voters. And that's why I say we have a rogue presidency. There are many topics that I haven't gotten to. It'll take me some time. I would be remiss not to tell you that my ratings for the month of February came out in radio, not mine, everyone in radio, and I'm king of the hill, and let's start in New York City. On WABC, I am the most listened-to host on the station. No one can deny it. The numbers support that. No doubt you'll hear people say it's not true, but it's true. They don't want to know that the guy who did it all on his own could do it all on his own without the help of the cartels that run radio. But most important to me is this. You know, I know a Nobel Prize-winning chemist that when he was told he won the Nobel Prize, his students said, "Professor, you know, you won the Nobel Prize." He said, "That's interesting." And he went back to teaching about the double helix. It's a very famous story from the early 50s before the scientific community became infested with the concept that everything is about money. He was a pure scientist. But he didn't pay that much attention to his Nobel Prize. And I guess I shouldn't pay that much attention to my ratings. However, I'm in a ratings business. The professor was on a tenured professorship. My business of talk radio depends entirely on you, the audience. And boy, have you turned out in great numbers. And my number one competitor, as you well know, is on the decline. When the numbers were first reported in January, and I handily beat him in the first month, his spokesmouth said, "This is not a sprint, it's a long-distance race." Well, in round two of this long-distance race, he's fallen far behind me, even farther behind than he did in round one. I think the sun has set on poor Wallbanger's enterprise. I'm not going to give you the exact numbers. I'm going to just tell you again, I slammed him to the mat. And even in Chicago, you want to hear something interesting? WLS in Chicago, one of the great stations in America, I'm on a time-delayed broadcast while Wallbanger is live. I even beat him in that head-to-head, and even though I'm time delayed, in my hometown of San Francisco, the numbers are fabulous. Again, my ratings are very good in San Francisco, and I beat Hannity there. Dallas, Fort Worth, unbelievable what my listeners on WBAP have done. Enormous. I'm not allowed to give you the direct numbers. They're four times larger in Dallas. And so, look, I want to thank you for listening to the show. I'm not going to be in radio for the rest of my life unless, you know, something happens, and then that would be a moot point. But the thing is, this is the last home I have in radio. I've worked 20 years to get here. In fact, March 21st is my 20th year in radio. I didn't do the Yankee Stadium thing that I thought I would be doing. I haven't had time to organize it. But I'll do something live on the radio. You know, my birthday's coming up on March 31st as well. So it's 20 years of great radio. And I really appreciate my listeners, the new listeners and the old listeners have been with me from day one. Again, the big news is, that's the big news to me. If you care to comment on any of this, you can. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Right now, Michael Savage is the voice of New York. I don't know of any other host in New York City who has a bigger audience than I do. By the way, that's a pretty big statement. I heard this from someone in the media who knows the ins and outs of it. He said, Michael, you're from New York. You're not living there, but you really ought to go to New York and do a show on WABC. He said, because you own that city on radio. He said, some will deny it, but it doesn't matter what they say. So I don't know. Maybe I'll get around to it over the next 6 months. It would be fun to see my old hometown and visit Utopia Parkway and see what that's become, the little house I grew up in Queens. I don't know whether to talk about Crimea. It's a done deal. It's over. That's why it's been dropped from the news, because the rogue president cannot trample on Putin the way he tramples on the U.S. Constitution and the American people. And so, therefore, the vermin in the media are forgetting Crimea. It's a done deal, and now on to something else. I guess anything except the fact that Obama has been crushed by Putin. I don't know if we should talk about the missing plane. What more can you say that hasn't been said? It took 10 days for the Thai military to release news that a radar blip could have been the flight that's missing. Okay, maybe there's something in the curry in Thailand. I don't know. There's nothing more to be said about that. You know, there's certain topics. There's nothing more to be said about. It's that simple. Why talk about something that we can't control? Well, I guess if I use that rule, we'd have nothing to talk about at all, since we're nothing but peons in the world of the control, the mind controllers. There is more freedom. Just know this. There is more democracy in Crimea than there is in America. Let me be very clear. There is more democracy in Crimea than there is under this rogue president here in America. The man acts as though it's a dictatorship and no one else exists, and you can all go you know where. That's his attitude. It's screw you, I'll do what the heck I want, and drop dead, you can't touch me. Because if he really cared about this country, before he passed these laws that devastate and decimate our institutions, our borders, our language, our culture, there would be a vote on it. That's what a sane democracy would do. They'd say, all right, what do the people think? Here's a simple, straight-up question for the American people. Should we grant amnesty to the illegal aliens in this country? Now, you know how that would turn out. 95 to 5, no. 95 to 5, no. And yet a small group of criminal politicians who are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the immigrant mafia, they receive millions and millions of dollars smeared under and over the table. Millions and millions of dollars smeared to them under and over the table. This is nothing but a kleptocracy. This country is worse than Russia under this administration in the minds of millions of educated people. I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear this, and I know it's shocking to most of you diehard left-wing fanatics. We have lost this country to this rogue presidency. And if we had a real democracy, we'd vote on the biggest issues of the day, such as, should we grant amnesty to illegal aliens? Yes or no? Make it simple. Don't confuse people. And if you care to talk about these topics, fine. Ron Paul, by the way, had the best editorial on the Crimean situation. It was in USA Today. It was simple, to the point. And he said, Crimea secedes, so what? Now, most illiterates will transliterate that to Crimea succeeds, so what? That's because they never went past certain talk shows and radio. But it's something else. It's not Crimea succeeds. For you illegal aliens who don't know the language, there is a difference between success and secession. And I think you need to check your 30 days to a more powerful American vocabulary. Crimea secedes, so what? And what he writes, and what I underline, is one line. He said, perhaps the U.S. officials who supported the unconstitutional overthrow of Ukraine's government should refocus their energies on learning our own constitution, which does not allow the U.S. government to overthrow governments overseas or send $1 billion to bail out Ukraine and its international creditors. You hear this? You hear this? He then says, though the Obama administration has applied some minimal sanctions on selected Russian and Crimean individuals, neither U.S. nor the EU can afford significant sanctions against Russia. Listen to why, all of you geniuses in economics. Global trade provides too much economic benefit to both sides. Indeed, he writes, international markets rallied on news that the sanctions would be thus far minimal. Okay? I thought it was a very good editorial. Now let's go to the calls. 855-400-7282. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. Let's start with Anna on WABC. Anna, thanks for listening and making my show the biggest show on WABC. Go ahead, please. Not there. Dead in the water. The ship went dead. First call, I'm dead in the water already. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Maybe we can get number two. David on WMAL in Washington. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Okay, we're having top call screening. I guess they have midgets and monkeys in there right now because I have lights lit and no one's picking anything up. The phone number is 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. The White House is saying it's a real treat for Michelle Obama to take her mom and daughters to China with you paying for it. First Lady Michelle Obama, quote, has been looking for an opportunity to go to China, a White House official said on Monday, and she considered it as a real treat to take her daughters and a mama with her on a trip she's making at considerable taxpayer expense, although the White House refuses to release a dollar figure. How do you feel about paying for the First Lady's trip to China? After all, she's going to get to educate her children, and I think you should pay for it. And I think that Mrs. Robinson, who is not in the movie with Dustin Hoffman, so far as I know, I don't think it's the same Mrs. Robinson. I think Mrs. Robinson is entitled to a trip. After all, she's the mother-in-law. Shouldn't you pay for that as well? After all, it's the First Lady and her daughters. Shouldn't the grandmother go along and you should pay for it? And then she's taking her number one advisor, Tina Chen. Never heard of her, huh? Never heard of Tina Chen, who's the number one advisor next to the Four Horsewomen of the Apocalypse. Who's taking her over the Pacific to China. When asked how much the trip will cost, Deputy National Security Advisor, another moron, who didn't know where the missing plane is, didn't know what happened in the Ukraine, doesn't know where Crimea is, but he knew how to tell you to eat it. He said, as a general matter, we don't disclose the details associated with the security of either the President or the First Lady. We didn't ask about security, we asked about the price. So this is the kind of rogue presidency that we have. How do you feel about that? I know how you feel. What's the point? I'm just trying to get you to call. Let me take some callers right now. Okay? Let's get some callers up there. We had a little engineering fiasco again in the studio. A little wrong button job. But apparently right now the plane is not going to nosedive to sea level. It's like flying a 777. The pilot gets in and the wrong button was put into place. And the plane all of a sudden goes up to 45,000 feet. You pass out. I try to get a caller. No callers. It goes down to sea level. And then finally, we found the button. Well, they found the button. WABC, Robert, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio, Robert. Go.
Yes, hi. I'm a long-time listener, and I want to just tell you, you got to be a little more humble.
What do you mean by more humble? What do you want to do, beg to have people listen to me? What do you mean by humble?
Not at all. But what I'm saying is, all I've been hearing lately in the beginning of your show is, I'm number one and no one can touch me.
Well, Robert, excuse me. I said it once this month because the ratings just came out today. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? I'm just trying to tell you to just try.
You must be a listener to Wallbanger, and he gave you a call. What's he going to give you, a free shillelagh? What, do you offer you some leftover green beer from last night? That's his style.
Did you ever
What do you offer you, a pitcher of leftover green beer from last night's a drunk? Hey, take a walk. Don't give me that nonsense. Who's going to tell you about me? You? Mike Huckabee is humble, isn't he? I'll get a guitar and I'll start singing folk songs to you. What are you talking about, be humble? If I am not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, who am I? Who's going to tell you about me? You? Where are you going to read it? In the New York Times? You're not going to hear it anywhere else. So it's my obligation to tell you thank you. I'm actually telling you thank you if you listen to what I said. And I only mentioned it today. When did I last talk about my ratings? In January when they came out. And now again in February when they came out for January. Actually, it's March came out for February. Excuse me. So if you're offended by me telling you, I can't help it. There's nothing I can do about it. I see that the Pope has turned down a visit from an actor named Russell Crowe who wants to promote a book or a movie called Noah. Good for the Pope. Good for him. Imagine that. Hollywood's now trying to use, they've used everybody else. Why can't they use the Pope? Why not use the whole Catholic Church? After all, Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg have no conscience. What's a Pope to them? They figure, what the heck, you know, a Pope is like a bit actor to Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Blatzenberg in Hollywood. Well, what's the Pope? Send him over there. Send Crow over to see the Pope. Send Crow over to do this. Send Crow over to do that. I'll be on my yacht in the Caribbean. Are you sure we can get away with it? Just do what I said. I have a 500-foot yacht. How big is the Pope's yacht? He doesn't have a yacht. I have a yacht. It's 500 feet. Okay? Just send Russell over to do this. Send Russell over to do that. Get a meeting with that guy. Yeah, get him over there.
Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb. I'm smart. And I want to spend.
I can't help it. I love that one. I love that particular soundbite. It reminds me of a certain talk show host before they gave him voice lessons. I heard he got a voice coach in to get that range out of the repertoire. His name is McRage. John McRage is the talk show host I'm talking about.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Of the 15 countries on the Security Council of the United Nations, voted to condemn the referendum in Crimea as illegitimate. Even China decided it could not support it and abstained, and Russia stood alone, naked in front of the world for the aggression that they had undertaken.
Right. And how about the naked aggression of the Biden-Obama ticket? The destruction of our borders, language, and culture. How about the naked aggression of flooding America with 30 million illegal aliens without so much as a vote? How about the naked aggression of decimating our economy, decimating our security, decimating our national integrity, decimating our sovereignty? How about that naked aggression, Joe? If there was a conscience in this country, if there was an opposition party in this country, lies such as this from Joe Biden would be challenged by a legitimate opposition party. We have no legitimate opposition party. We have a drunken opposition party, a stoned opposition party that stands only for itself, a party of the Republicans, by the Republicans, and for the Republican interests only. It does not represent the American interests whatsoever any more than the Democrats do. Now, that is not to say that I wouldn't vote for the Republicans if I had a chance, and I will. Because on certain issues, the only thing we have going for us comes from the Republicans. We have nothing coming to us from the illegitimate Socialist Democrat Party, the most corrupt kleptocratic party in the history of this country. That's my opinion. So I'm going to slow it down now. I'm going to slow it down. Imagine, Joe Biden, you hear this? Joe Biden. Joe Biden has isolated Putin. I see that Putin is shaking in his fur boots. Biden and his Messiah are on top of the world. Biden the Messiah. I guess they'll shift the global warming now and tell us it's the greatest threat to national security and they're arresting the globe. I expect any day to hear from Obama that he's going to sign an executive order with his pen that, owing to the fact that global warming is the greatest threat to human survival, he is going to put an immediate arrest warrant on the globe, and then he's going to make you turn in all of your globes, because that's the only thing he can possibly do to arrest the globe is have you turn in your globe. He can make globes illegal. Any globe of the earth will now become illegal because it doesn't show global warming in pictographic messages. Anyway, these are some of the topics. I can make fun of it. I cannot. All we've got left is mockery at this point. See, when you have a dictatorship that hasn't yet become a full-blown dictatorship like the ex-Soviet Union, all we have left is mockery, and we can make fun of them, which is what I do on the show. I play Looney Tunes behind Biden. I play the cuckoo clock, which that's my favorite, by the way. The cuckoo clock behind Dianne Feinstein, who thought that a toy airplane was a drone. Do you realize that the woman is a wackadoodle? She's a nut. She's in charge of the Senate Intelligence She's in charge of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and this woman looked out her window and saw a toy airplane and thought it was a drone spying on her. You talk about paranoid lunacy? This woman is in charge of our Senate Intelligence Committee. In any sane nation, they elect to remove her the next second after that speech. They gently say to her, Senator Feinstein, you've been removed from the committee owing to senility. Please go down to North Beach and have a drink. I had a fun day yesterday. I did my show from the city. And after the show, I walked around San Francisco, sights and sounds. You know, I love the city. And a lot of streets were closed off for St. Paddy's Day. I mean, it was really starting early, the drunks. Everyone in the green this, the green that, and the cops that had to pay for police and security guards. There was a very good Irish rock band outside O'Reilly's Pub. Really powerhouse. Very good. They still have the energy of the old European world. I enjoyed listening to them for about 3 seconds, and then I left. I can't take noise. It disturbs my brainwaves. I don't like crowds of any kind. As a matter of fact, I'll clue you in on something. Noise at that level and the crowds and the noise is very good for people with a one-string mind who confuse the one string with a Stradivarius brain. If you have one string, marijuana moves the string slightly, and you think you're playing some harmonic, but you're not. You're just getting the movement of one string. But if you're blessed with a 16-string brain, what you have is discord from events like that. And you certainly don't want to use marijuana if you have a fine brain. Marijuana is for people with a single string on their mind. Trust me, if you're a smart kid, don't touch that poison. And you say, well, I'll lose my friends. Good, it's the best thing you'll ever do. You'll go somewhere, and they'll go nowhere. Trust me. Get back to me when you're 30 or 40. You'll see who wound up on top. You or the potheads who thought that they were geniuses. Whatever they said, they thought was brilliant. Now we get the pot callers. The pot callers come the minute you attack their drug. All right, let's go to the callers on the show. WMAL, Donna, Washington, D.C., fire away, you're on the air.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I want to comment about Michelle. You know, the politicians, Hollywood, and the Wall Street cronies of the politicians are all the real 1%. So when I hear about Michelle jet-setting off on another one of her elaborate escapes, all I could think about is, she became wealthy overnight with her husband at everybody else's expense. So why the heck aren't they paying for their own darn trips?
Well, the reason they're not is they don't have to. And secondly, they can do anything they want. They're imperious, and no one challenges them.
It's infuriating. They've used our system for their own benefit, and yet they defecate all over it, for lack of a better word. It's so...
Well, I think that they have abused the presidency. They've trashed the White House. They've trashed the office. They've embarrassed the country in the world, and yet they get away with it because the media is supine. I mean, people say, use other words. We have a supine media when it comes to Barack Obama, and I think it has something to do with race. To be perfectly blunt, I think they're cowards.
I think you're absolutely right on that, and I think their chickens...
Because to be honest with you, the media, people don't understand, the media is more liberal than he is. So it's not because he's liberal. They're afraid of him because of racial issues.
Yes.
They're looking over their shoulder afraid they'll be called a name if they dare say one word about him. This is abusive behavior. This is abusive behavior, these endless trips. I really believe that. 855-407-282, that opens up one line on the Savage Nation. Let's go to the next caller. I'm getting a lot of calls on Kosovo, Russia, China. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know. I almost feel like reading from one of my novels or telling you a Teddy story. I think you're all burned out from Ukraine. I think you're burned out from the airplane story. What can I tell you that you haven't already seen with diagrams and pilots and experts and NTSB? That woman, where'd she come from that marries somebody from the NTSB? They like come back out of a crypt every show, and they don't know anything. Well, we now have our expert, Mary, from the Reagan administration, who was in charge of the NTSB during the many years. Mary, what do you know about the crypt? And again, the same story. No one knows anything. On and on and on, and the leg crossers go berserk. The legs and the hair flippers and the leg crossing, and the ratings are high. I don't have the hair or the legs, so I'm jealous. I don't have hair to flip, and I don't have legs to cross. All I have is a brain and a mind and the ability to transmit with a God-given voice. And that's all I have. That's the only instrument I have is my voice. So if you'd like me to sing for you, I can't do it. I'm not a singer. Speaking of singers, did you see Jager's girlfriend? You hung herself from a door? I don't understand this. I mean, look, everyone I know has thought of suicide, even fleetingly. Let's be clear. Everyone listening to the show, it's empty. Yeah, no, I don't. I wouldn't even think of it. But you have. You thought about your own death. And at the same time, some days, you put it out of your mind as you should. But it's entered your mind. And you probably thought about how you would do it. You would not hang yourself from a door. I don't understand that one. I mean, I had my plan. I won't do it because it's against God's will. But I found it's against my religion. You can't even contemplate such things. So I don't even think about it anymore. There were times I did when I was young, and I wrote a whole book called Suicidal Ideations and wrapped it up in a bundle with ribbons and threw it away. Actually, I didn't. It's in a file somewhere. I'm afraid to even open it up. It'd be like opening up a toxic dump. But I did. I wrote for 3 months once when I was 40, 41, and things weren't working because of these liberal social engineers. They tried to destroy me. And I had very serious doubts about my ability to go on. I was so depressed. But I wouldn't do it that way. I mean, what do you think? Should we do a whole show on? I mean, I have a friend who's very successful. Thank God he doesn't listen to the show. It's one of the reasons I don't see him anymore. It's a terrible story. Here's what it is. He lives in San Francisco, and he's a friend, though. I know him for many years. Very conservative. He says to me, I can't listen to your show. It's on between 12 and 3, and I'm running my businesses. Okay. So then he flies to New York, where he has a place, when it's on, as you know, 3 to 5. I said, did you hear the show? No, I can't listen. I said, what, do you always find a reason not to listen? I said, I'll tell you what, I'll go to the network and I'll ask them to change the hours just for you. I still like the guy, whatever. So I said this, and then here's what he told me. I no one knows his name. He said to me years ago, he's an elderly gentleman, that if the day comes that he's incapacitated and that he can't take care of himself and he's just not, you know, he said he has a, you know, pill, he's going to take it. He got it from the society there, the Hemlock Society. He told me that. It's a horrible thought. I mean, I said to him once, wait a minute, that's stupid talk. I said, Mickey, that's stupid talk. I said, listen to me, Mickey. I said, who's going to find you in your apartment? They'll find you like a reeking corpse 3 weeks later. He said, no, the housekeeper comes in every day. She'll find me with a note. So he's got it all worked out, this guy. He's very rational. I'm switching from Ukraine and to suicide now. 855-407-282 is the phone number. It's 45 minutes after the hour. We're talking about the rogue presidency. And the only thing that he hasn't been able to trample and crush is Vladimir Putin. Those are harsh words. I'm also taking today to boast about my success in ratings. I know many of you don't want to hear it. But in New York, my show trounced Hannity on the call at a deficient station in which they pushed him. And my numbers are around three times bigger than his. My audience is three times larger than his. That tells you something. San Francisco, much larger. The audience in San Francisco, I can't give you the exact numbers, but my numbers are three times larger in San Francisco. The biggest differential is on WBAP, four times bigger in Dallas. Apparently, I've struck a chord in Dallas with my listeners. And that's good. That's good. And that's it. I'm talking about various things on the show. What do you want to talk about on the program? Because it's really your show. The day it isn't your show, you won't listen to it. I don't know. I'm drifting right now. I'm not in the mood to really do politics. I have all the stack, the famous stack of all the news stories, you know, New York Senate rejects immigrant student, Dream Act. Yeah, I'll read the headlines there. Ron Paul says Crimea secedes, so what? I read that one. All right. McCain is a warmonger. You heard that already. Doesn't interest me at all. Russian and Crimean parliament signed treaty of secession. You heard that already. Michelle Obama and her family are taking another taxpayer-funded trip, this time to China. Biden heads to Europe to send a signal to Putin. You've heard all of it, though, you know, and I listen to other shows off and on. And here's what's going on in talk radio. We're going through a sea change in this business. As the elder statesman of successful talk radio, I will tell you what's happening. Here's my opinion. It's my opinion of what's going on. The audience is fickle. As you know, all audiences are very fickle. There's no guarantee tomorrow the audience will be there. It's like opening a Broadway show. You don't know if they're going to come, and if they do, how long they'll keep coming, because they can change in them in a restaurant, right? They'll keep coming, and then one day they don't show up anymore. Most talk radio shows today that are conservative are very important. Don't get me wrong. But I have calculated that if you took 8 to 10 words from their show and threw them into a computer program and then had a computer-generated radio talk show created from those 8 to 10 words with their voice put in through some kind of scrambler, they would never have to sit at the microphone again for the rest of their lives. If you put in the words Constitution, Bill of Rights, George Washington, Republican, Democrat, Obama, and tyranny, there are several talk shows would never have to appear on air again. A computer program could run it. Now, I'm not arrogant in telling you I can't listen to it and I don't do a show like that. Those are important topics, though, for those of you who appreciate that. I understand that. I'm not saying don't listen to it. I can't do that for you. I can only do my thing. And right now, I'm ready to move to a whole different sphere altogether. I'm in another state of mind. It's like springtime here on the West Coast. All my fruit trees are in flower in my little country house. I have a little 1 acre on a hill somewhere. All my fruit trees, my cherries, my apricots, my apples, I have such beautiful fruit trees. I feel like Uncle Vanya when I go up to that hill. I feel like just like Uncle Vanya in the cherry orchard. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's in the news, you know, his girlfriend of many years hung herself from a door, which is really odd to me. I'm sorry. That's odd. Pardon me. I wasn't there. I don't know anything about it. I wasn't hanging from a door. I don't get it. To me, I'd throw in a homicide investigator immediately. There's, you know, auto asphyxiation, and there's sex play asphyxiation with some loonies. I didn't say it, but, you know, it's a talk show. It's a national show. We're allowed to talk about something other than Crimea, aren't we? That's all. WABC Martin, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you, sir. I just wanted to say something. I want to have a personal question, if I may. I noticed that you, during your show, you have laughs. You have three unique laughs. And I want to know if you inherited either from your father or some member in your family.
Wait a minute. Now you got me laughing. What laugh did I just emit? Because I didn't know that I had the three faces of Eve here. What do you mean three laughs?
Real laughs, and then you have a laugh that is like a resign, like you resign, like you give up on something. You're like, ha, 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 ha. I'm just wondering if...
Really? Wait, hold it. You have my interest. I give a resignation laugh of a ha-ha-ha, then I give a loud laugh, and then what's the third?
You hit a point where you know you can't change it, yet you throw a laugh out there just to fill a void.
What, like a resignation laugh?
About 1,000 people a week, and I like to read people. I'm not a psychiatrist.
No, I think it's all gas, frankly. It's probably from the lunch I ate.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You can't always get what you want. You can't always
get. Well, he's in the news, Mick Jagger. His designer girlfriend, Lorenz Scott, hung herself. And now there's wild speculation. I mean, they split up before the suicide, but the reports are pretty clear that it was a suicide, by the way. And I'd like to put to rest all of the other allegations. Welcome to the program. And you're saying, well, why are you talking about that when there's so many important things in the world? Because I did the important things in the world already. How much can I talk about? We'll go back to the important things of the world in a minute, but let's take a call on I would say it's a tragic end. I mean, suicide is a tragedy, no matter who does it. Because it's the wrong people always commit suicide. The right people never commit suicide. Bill on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage.
All right, we don't take calls inside telephone booths. They don't have them anymore. You know, I should have invested in telephone booths. What confessionals they would make. Remember the telephone booth? Where is that gone, that little privacy? I used to make calls in a telephone booth just to get away from crowds in Manhattan, by the way. In the early days when I would travel there on, you know, to sell books. You'd run into a booth. You had a few minutes to yourself. You make a call. You close the door. There was one in my father's store on Ludlow Street. I remember to this day. I can remember the phone numbers from when I was a kid. OR49805. Could you believe that? I remember the exchange. Oregon 49805 from my father's store. I'm talking a very long time ago. Right now, it's not obviously not there. Where did all the phone booths go? Did they sell them to the Ukraine or what? You know, you very often find, like, first world items in other countries. Years later, you're traveling and you find things that were gone. What would they use a phone booth for? I guarantee you someone made a fortune on phone booths. Some guy from New York figured it out. They're so smart, some of these guys. Like, they bought 100,000 phone booths, let's say, and they exported them to Tonga to be used as floating coffins. That they found out that in their culture, they don't bury. They don't bury either, and they float away. And the guy could have cleaned up on floating, you know, just take off the Bell telephone. What do you want to talk? You know which movie I saw that was very good last night? That was a fourth laugh. That was a snort laugh. It was a guy come up with the last hour. He says, you have three laughs. That was my fourth laugh, which was an expression like breath coming out of my nostrils. I saw a great movie last night. I had seen pieces of it before. It was on TV with Joe Pesci, who I still love. And the female actress from Britain, whose name I forget, who's incredible, called Love Hotel, about the first legal brothel in Nevada. What's her name? She's all over the map, like in her 60s. Can someone help me with this here? No one knows who I'm talking about. Neil, you don't know the actress I'm talking about? I'll have to IMDb it. Anyway, it was a very interesting movie. Did anyone see Love? Was it Love Ranch? Love Ranch. Love Ranch, Love Ranch with Joe Pesci. Love Ranch here. I loved the movie last night. It's not for children to watch. A drama centered around a married couple. I hate the ads that pop up when I'm looking at something. I hate it. Must they sell me something wherever I go? No, I don't want to buy Chromecast now. I'm trying to do IMDb and I have to go through this garbage. A drama centered around a married couple. Again, it pops in my face. I will never buy that product. Whatever they're doing to me on this, I will never buy it again. It pops up one more time, I won't go into IMDb ever again. I'm going to try one more time. Love Ranch. Oh, it did it again. That's it. I'm never buying anything that plugs into a computer. I'm going to try the fourth time now. Love Ranch. It pops up one more time. I'm going to have a stroke here. Okay, Love Ranch. Here, Helen Mirren, Joe Pesci. Sergio Perez Mancheta, he plays the Argentinian boxer who there was boxing in Reno in the old days. Way back, it was a boxing capital before Vegas. So he has the idea in the 40s, no, the 50s, to open a legal brothel and to bring boxing back to, he plays an Italian guy, Joe Pesci, no kidding, no, he plays an Irish guy who was the first and the wife in this. But I loved the movie. There was a texture to it. It was, you would call it a grade B movie. A drama centered around a married couple who opened the first legal brothel in Nevada. And then it shows the Christians who try to oppose it. And he plays Charlie Bontempo. In our day, they would have called him something other than a legal brothel owner. We had a name for them. When you had a car with a continental wheel on it, you weren't called the owner of a legal brothel. It was a word that began and ended with a P on it. Gina Gershon plays one of the ladies of the night. And, you know, why do they always show hookers as nice? Why is every hooker in the movies put up by Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg shown as having a heart of gold and they're better than the average woman who raises children? Every hooker is a victim and a nice person. Straight women are like garbage to the Katzenberg crowd, in my opinion. But hookers, oh, their hearts are made of gold. I'm not saying some hookers aren't nice people. But all of them, every one of them is perfect, an angel who just, a fallen angel who couldn't help themselves. There was no other job they could take. In the mid-70s near Reno, Grace Bontempo runs the Love Ranch, a legal brothel. Her husband, Charlie, with big dreams, a felony record, and an aptitude for spending and infidelity, is the brothel's public face. On the day Grace's doctor tells her she has cancer in an advanced state, Charlie takes on new client, Argentine boxer Armando Brusa. Charlie's ticket to fame. He hopes to promote a fight with Muhammad Ali. Because of Charlie's felonies, Grace is Brusa's titular manager. With the IRS and the church ladies circling the business, Grace takes the manager's role seriously, and along the way, Brusa charms her. Secrets play out. Is there love at the Love Ranch? How will Charlie respond? There were some corny, you know, moments. Opening weekend, $60,000, a bomb. Gross was $134,000, the whole movie? Oh, by July 10? I could do a movie that would gross more than that. I could do a bigger opening weekend than $60,000. I could do more on the internet. After, I love when they say goofs. After Grace kicks Brusa out of her car, she drives to his trailer park where we see a small satellite dish attached to one of the trailers, but many dishes weren't used by private residents. I love the genius in 1976. This is what people live for, to find a mistake on a movie and put it on IMDb here. And he walks around, he thinks he's a genius. Here's someone wrote this. Selling love will make you... Oh, Grace Bontempo, great line. Selling love will make you rich. That's what my mother taught me. Just don't put your heart in it. I don't know what that means. Mustang Ranch, whatever. You want to talk about that? Is that a topic here? I don't know. Joe Pesci, he was good in the movie, though. That guy is some actor. I wonder what he's like in real life. Is he just as horrible, or is it just an act? I wonder if he's really like that, or is he just a miserable, horrible human being who was mean? Probably not. Probably a sweet grandfather somewhere. Probably runs a Boy Scout troop. Connecticut, WDRC. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you. I'm working on a copy of Van Gogh's Sunflowers for a class that I'm teaching. And you were discussing suicide earlier.
And right.
It just struck me because, you know, I'm looking very closely at brushstrokes and I'm trying to get in his head, and everybody knows that he killed himself in the poppy field.
Right. One of the greatest, and what a great tragedy that man lived. What a life he lived, a life of tragedy he lived.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about his situation, being an artist, having that vision, seeing the world the way he saw it. Nobody else saw the world that way. No other way to really express himself.
Well, the isolation of a real artist is something that only a real artist can understand.
Yeah.
Does that say it for you? Did I just reach you? The isolation and loneliness of a real artist is something only a real artist can understand.
That's absolutely correct.
Yes, the vision of the world is so painful, and there's no one you can express it to in an ordinary way, that unless you're extraordinarily talented, you wind up in a state of madness. See, if you have the ability to express it in a magnificent way through your art, maybe, just maybe, you can survive that vision. But if you don't have that extraordinary ability or talent, if you want to put it that way, to express yourself, you're locked, you're lost, you're lonely, you're finished.
Well, he was looking for acceptance, and he was also trying to make a living. You know, he had his brother.
Yes. I love his book. I love the book, My Brother Theo, him and his brother. But, you know, you say Van Gogh to most people. They all know about the ear, the biting of the ear. Who bit whose ear? Did he bit Gauguin's ear off, or did Gauguin bite his ear off? He cut his ear off, right, after the dispute with Gauguin, right?
He went after Gauguin with a straight razor. he got an argument with Gauguin. Gauguin said, and then he, out of frustration, he took a piece of his own ear off and he gave it to a...
Right, but Gauguin was a much stronger guy than him, a bigger guy.
He could have... He was more of a street fighter. He could have hurt...
Who was the street fighter, Van Gogh or Gauguin?
No, Gauguin was a... He was a ruffian. He was a...
Yeah, he had a classic. He had a classic street face and body. Van Gogh was more. You call him Van Gogh. I know the experts already sniffing at me. Well, we all know it's. Well, we visited the museum. It's Van Gogh. I had a friend once who came back from the museum. You know where his paintings are, and he said, "Well, it's not Van Gogh. It's Van Gogh." You always get the correctors in the Bay Area. They correct you on pronunciation. All the geniuses, Van Gogh. They always have to correct everything you say. They make $9 an hour somewhere, but they correct you when you call them to order a rabbit from the butcher shop. So how do you fight off your depression? You paint?
I do. It's all I've ever done. And I have a part-time job, as a pharmacy tech, so I have all kinds of opinions on...
I thought you were going to say you have access to all kinds of meds. I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
No, but you know, it's... It can be a very depressing, lonely situation, especially when you have a family and you're trying to make a living.
You got to understand. Listen, I understand what you're saying. It's one thing to have a depressive personality. It's another thing to have a depressive worldview, which may be accurate, by the way. And if you're then struggling financially, that is a heavy burden to handle. If, on the other hand, you start to make a good living, it will tend to ameliorate some of the other factors in your life. You're still going to be depressed. You're still going to have no friends. You're still going to be lonely. You're still going to be isolated. You're still going to be an outcast, but at least you have a few bucks in your pocket. It's not going to change your view of the world.
No.
No. Money does not change. One iota does it change a depressive's nature. Not one iota. In fact, some people who make money, I mean, this is maybe a homily by now, they only get worse because then they start thinking they should be happy, and then because they're not happy, they go into a deeper depression, a bigger slide, because they always thought it was money that they were missing. Happiness is a human, you know, a human question. No one has an answer for it. There's no answer for it. It's why theology and psychiatry originated. I'll be right back as the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is open mic to Mike today on the Savage Nation. We're putting aside for a moment a little politics. I gave you the politics already. I don't think we should talk about the plane already. It's over. What do we know? What are you going to call another conspiracy theory? So, as far as Putin, it's the done deal. The missus already is going on a trip to China now, so that the media sycophants can cover her wonderful joy of the magic city, the missing city, the mystery city, and the Great Wall of China. We need a Great Wall of America. Maybe when Mrs. Obama comes back from China, and she oohs and ahs about the Great Wall, maybe she can build one on our border with Mexico, because that's why the ancient Chinese constructed the Great Wall, was to keep out the Mongols. Did you know that? Oh, yeah! You didn't know that the ancient Chinese defined their nation by their borders, language, and culture. So they built the Great Wall to keep out the Mongol hordes. They built thousands of miles. How many miles long is that Great Wall? And they did it strictly to keep out the barbarians who were invading China. They didn't want them. They didn't want their language, their culture, and their borders certainly decimated any more than we do. So now we're going to have this nonsense to put up with about the wonders of China without any substance to it. What would you like to talk about? Let's go to Annie on WABC. ABC in NYC. Annie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I have to congratulate you, Mr. Savage, on giving us the headline news. I would say thank you very much, and I do believe that you are number one, because you have to be. When you're saying...
Wait, hold it. It's not whether you believe it or not. Numbers don't lie. The numbers for February came out, and my numbers are four times bigger than my competition on the call letter deficient station.
Let me tell you, I congratulate you, and I don't know if I have the privilege also to continue speaking on some of the topics that you have picked up, which is phenomenal, is to keep the USA alert on news, which is our duty, to keep alert and know that...
Well, borders, language, and culture is my motto. Borders, language, culture. Every story that I cover, in one way or another, impacts how Obama is decimating our borders, stepping on our language, and certainly disrespecting our culture. Well, I thank you so much for being a loyal listener in New York City and everywhere else in America. You want to go into the plane thing? Oh, God. WABC, another call. I guess they're the only ones who care about me. Now we'll go to Rebecca on the internet. She's from North Carolina. Rebecca, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please. Rebecca, you're on the program. Fire away.
Hi there, Dr. Savage. I have a question about what you were talking about earlier with your one-string mind versus a 16-string mind.
Well, go ahead.
What is your opinion of Carl Sagan? I mean,
I never heard of him. What, was he a marijuana smoker who was brilliant?
You've really never heard of Carl Sagan?
I really don't know who he is. I vaguely recall the name. I'm not trying to disrespect him, but I guess you're going to say he was a genius and he smoked pot, right?
Well, I mean, I don't think he was a pot smoker, but he spoke out about the benefits of marijuana use. But he was a renowned astrophysicist. I would definitely not consider him to be a one-string mind type.
All right, so there are exceptions, but by and large, the rule is pretty firm as far as I'm concerned. I find that people who smoke dope generally have a one-string mind, and they think that by resonating that one string with marijuana, they're geniuses. Let's put it to you this way. In a world that's so competitive and dangerous, why would anyone want to impair their brain with marijuana or alcohol or anything else? Can you explain that to me? What happened? Did the pot caller disappear? She had to think. The one string was only working on one answer. The one string had one answer.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
On Talk My System. Que tiene esta fecha crucial, fundamental para los latinos, este 31 de marzo. Y señor presidente, usted en Locura Deportiva quiere darle un mensaje a todos los latinos.
Well, the first thing to know is that Latinos are the most likely to be uninsured, to not have health insurance of any other group.
They're not citizens!
And that obviously has an effect on their health. It has an effect on their finances, because if you don't have health insurance and you get...
Yeah, let the gringo pay for it, sure.
Accident,
let the moron pay for everything.
May you not get good treatment, but you also may have a lot of...
No, you're entitled to the best treatment. Sure, come on in from Mexico. Just insure all of Mexico with Barack Obama and make us pay for this. When are you morons going to understand what he is doing to you? Do you understand what he just did? He goes on Univision and he puts out a call for illegal aliens to sign up for Obamacare. Why? So you, the moron in the middle class, can pay for their gold-plated health care system. Whether they're citizens or not, he just said, it doesn't matter. What president could get away with this other than Barack Obama? And the answer is why? Because, well, I said it too many times to repeat it. You need the because every minute? You don't need it every minute. It's a criminal act to invite non-citizens into the country, number one, and it's a bigger criminal act to sign them up for health care, number two. But what's the point? What is the point of me telling you this over and over again? The man who ran the Mustang Ranch in Las Vegas couldn't have done a better job on America than what Obama's doing to us. The guy who opened up the first brothel in Nevada wouldn't have busted out America at a faster rate than what this guy is doing to us. But because this guy has a last name that doesn't end in a vowel that's associated with a certain ethnicity, all right, so you can't say a word. Is that it? That's why I didn't want to do politics. I can sense I was moving up to a moment of anger, and I don't want it anymore. I don't want it. I'm not gonna blow a vein for Obama. I can't take it much anymore. But I'll say it again. A brothel owner couldn't have busted America out at a faster rate than this Democrat administration is doing. This is like the sporting goods store that got into hot water with a gambling debt, and then they took over the sporting goods store and then busted out the sporting goods store in The Sopranos. And they started moving stuff out of the back and selling it out on trucks. That's what this government is doing to us. And you're paying for it. And he gets up with a clean shirt, a nice tie, nice suit. He gives another speech. I'm a pen. I'm with the pen now. I'm taking away Crimea from him. Next day, I have a pen. I'm all going to give health care to the illegal aliens from Mexico. You, the moron, will pay for it. I have a pen, and my wife's going to China with his mother and the daughters. You'll pay for it, moron. Trip number 19 of the year. I have a pen, and I'm going golfing. And I'm doing good, that's all. What are you going to do about it? Katzenberg, and Ratzenberg will cover for me. They'll do a movie soon. It'll show that I'm the best president since George Washington. This is the state we're in. It's the state we're in. It's all impeachable offense. All of it is an impeachable offense. Whatever I just said to you, it's astounding. How can you give away health care to non-citizens? It is totally illegal. There is not a country on earth that doesn't require voter ID to vote. Fill out the form, boys and girls. Don't leave money on the table. Fill out the form, boys and girls. But don't you dare ask for voter ID, because then we'll call you a racist. And we'll bring out the goons in Congress to call you a racist. And we'll bring out the pornographers in the media to call you a racist. And then we'll bring out Joe Biden to call you a racist. If you dare say that voter ID is required to vote in this country. How are we going to keep the Democrat Party alive, boys and girls, if there's voter ID? They'll be able to find out that most citizens wouldn't vote for us. They'll be able to find out that we're supported almost entirely by illegal aliens, boys and girls. We can't have that. There's more democracy in Crimea than there is in the United States of America under this administration. There was more democracy just seen in the Balkans than there is in the United States of America under this administration. When have you last been asked about some of the most important events occurring around you in this nation? When were you last asked to vote on any of these issues? You weren't, because you don't live in a democracy. You live in a dictatorship punctuated by democracy. Every few years they let you think you have a democracy. Here you have a senile woman. She's senile by every definition, Dianne Feinstein. The opening of the show, we play her saying there was a drone outside her window when it was a toy airplane. Neil, can you play that soundbite with the clock again for the listeners who just tuned in these last 15 minutes?
I'm in my home, and there's a demonstration out front, and I go to peek out the window, and there's a drone facing me. Well, whoever was running it turned it around quickly, and it crashed.
Now, this woman is the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. To show you how intelligent the committee is, I don't know what she uses the intelligence for, but it can't be to find the missing airplane or to determine that Putin's about to take the Crimea, because she certainly didn't do anything about those things. But she's certainly good to tell everyone not to spy on her or her staff. But here she's telling us that she had a drone outside her window, when in fact it turned out to be a toy airplane launched by Code Stinko, who was protesting her over spying or something to that effect. What I'm getting at is you have a country run by miscreants almost at every level. All right, forget about it. I don't want to. I can't do this anymore. You know, the show's going to come to an end. What am I going to do with this energy? You want me to hang myself from a doorknob? I can't do this. I'm not going to get a scarf and go to a doorknob. Petri on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, listen, your suicide topic earlier. I've already written a song which goes back to that. It's called Kill Me or Kill Myself. Now, those early years in our lives when we have those liberal leanings, right? When I was in my 20s, and I wrote something similar like you. I did death metal music. And so you need to get together with me so I can do a new version. I'll do some death metal music.
I didn't exactly write music. I wrote page after page about page about the musings of my life when I was like hitting a stone wall. I had two young children. I had earned a PhD. I earned two master's degrees. I'd written six books at the time. And because I was a white male, they would not employ me in the universities. They were only applying, letting morons apply. Okay? The lower the moron, the higher the chances were of getting hired in the universities.
Yeah, but what I could do is I could rework that stuff into some music.
I don't need the music. My suicidal ideations are long over, Petri. I'm way past that point of my life. On my life journey, let me put it to you that way.
Well,
I don't even think about it anymore, because believe me, let's put it to you this way. If you had an hourglass, now what kind of laugh was that? Was that laugh number 3, 4, or 5? That was a different laugh. That was the resign laugh. Okay, that was the resign laugh. The caller like listens to my laughs, tell me I have 3 laughs. Now I'm self-conscious, I won't even laugh anymore. I'm afraid to laugh. I'm afraid he's going to listen and say, that's not, I'm sorry, I want either one of the three laughs. If you laugh another way, I'm not listening to you anymore. That's laugh number five. I had to put my hand over my mouth. I forget what I was talking about. I don't remember anymore. Suicide? That's a nice topic. Oh, if you had an hour, that's laugh number six. If you had an hourglass and you were to turn it upside down, right, and it was the sand of my life, let me tell you something. There's more sand in the lower glass than there is in the upper glass. So the thought of thinking about suicide is way past me. That's something for the sufferings of young Vertha. That's something you go through when you're 18 and you think, woe is me and the world's no good and I'm too good for the world and how can a man as fine as me get through this miserable, dirty world? So I think I'll get up today at 4 o'clock, smoke a joint, have a drink, and go out to the cafe and write some drivel in a journal somewhere on a laptop, okay, and send it to to evil Hollywood who won't touch it because I'm too smart. The sufferings of young Vertha. We all know about it. It happens between the ages of 17 and 19. Amongst some people, the frogs, the intelligent frogs who think that they're too good for the world. And then you outgrow it, that's all. I'm thinking of buying a new car. That's on my mind, though. Wilhelm is 5 years old. I got to get rid of him. This guy scratched the bumper. And get him embarrassed. You ever notice that the cars? You don't even realize, like, time has gone by. You buy a new car, it's like everything smells good. You still think it's new, like years later, you think people look at you and you say, oh, yeah, he's still in a new car. You think they think. And then I, like, looked it up on the Blue Book. It was worth, like, $40,000. I said, what? The car was $160,000 when it was new. Big, giant Mercedes. No, I'm not boasting. I'm telling you. And now the thing is worth nothing. How did it become worthless? So now I'm embarrassed to even drive it. I'm afraid, like, everyone knows. They're laughing at me when I drive it. They think it's like a used car. I'm pulling your leg. I could care less. No, but you do get the residual thoughts from when you're young, and that stuff really mattered. Like on the road, like in the back of your head, like, oh, who's that guy? Yeah, look at that guy. Look at a hub. Look at his hubcaps. Wow, man, look at his rims. It's like you see young guys in San Francisco with these little Hondas that they paint in a matte color, and they make a muffler on it that makes it sound like a broken Ferrari, and they cut you off. Okay, that's their culture. Everyone has their thing. But when you get older, does that stuff really matter? Yes, only more so. But you got to get a different kind of car. How does an older guy, like, identify with his car without being a complete and totally moron? How could you identify with your car? I don't want to, like, walk around with my clothes, my shoes. The guy was like, whoa, look at the shoes. How about guys who walk around, no, there are guys who still get custom-made shoes. I understand that. There are still there. And I know that when they go around, they look at your shoes to see if their shoes are better than your shoes. And they are so crazy that if you don't have custom-made shoes from his shoemaker in Italy, he's sure that you're a putz. He's better than you. This is the way people are. They rank themselves based on absurdities. So every man does rank himself at one point. Every point of the day, guys. Let's say the guy's a humble guy. Not everyone can be rich and famous. But he has certain attributes that make him a fine person, whatever they may be. Maybe I don't know. I don't want to, you know, categorize. There's too many different ways people identify with being worthy of life. But they do rank themselves based on material possessions, don't they? I mean, doesn't every man rank himself based on material possessions to a certain extent? And that's where the resentment comes in. Like the occupiers, they're all losers. So they go, oh, you took it from me. The rich people took it from me. They didn't take it from you. They worked harder and they're smarter. That's all. The reason you're in the low 1% is because you're an idiot or unlucky or you used too many drugs when you were young. That's all. It's no one's fault. Now, the latest buzzword is Monsanto. You look at liberals in Marin County, California, which is really, I have such a love-hate relationship with this place. It's unbelievable. These people are such hypocrites. It's frightening. They have peace signs on their doors, and they pollute the air at night with fireplaces, for example. That's you give it one little starter. They're for against global warming, but you can't be around their house. It's like industrialized England in 1860, like a Charles Dickens novel outside their house. That's one example. Or the hypocrisy, that they're all for the poor and this and that, but they wouldn't give up a dime when they go out. They don't tip. That type of person. It's no, you know what I'm saying? They're all for the down people. But that's neither here nor there. What do you want me to talk about? I'm not interested in politics. I'm really not interested in anybody. I'd rather talk about suicide than politics. Well, No, no, really. I mean, I'd rather talk about, if you talk about politics, you're talking about suicide anyway, national suicide. If you think about it, and you analyze what Obama's doing to us, he's committing a national suicide for us. Yeah, no question. Everything he does is against America. How could you justify granting health care and selling it on Univision to illegal aliens? How can you do that? How? WABC, William, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good afternoon. Terrible. Terrible. What's on your mind?
Oh, so I just wanted to say, I heard earlier you were talking about how the WABC listeners are the only ones that like you, the only ones calling today. I just wanted to say I'm a New Yorker, born and bred. I actually live now in South New Jersey because my political views have never really changed, and I just couldn't stand growing up in that cesspool, Upper Manhattan. You know, like you're saying.
Yeah, I know. All of the people. Oh, don't get me started on the hypocrisy and stupidity of people in Upper Manhattan. They're all against guns. They're all against guns except when they're mugged. I get it.
Oh, my God. But in any case, so to hear a New Yorker speaking with the New York accent and talking about, you know, morals and values and how we can save the country rather than how we can further the downfall of the country, that's just something that's very inspiring to us all.
I think it's also my energy. It's a real East Coast energy. But you got to understand, my show is booming from San Francisco to New York. It's not just in New York. But the fact of the matter is, I think that my identity with New York City is very strong on this radio show. I really appreciate your listenership. It's absolutely. You know, there used to be an accent in San Francisco when I first moved here in 1974. Real San Franciscans told me that I, as an ex-New Yorker, sounded just like the real San Franciscans. It was true that the Irish and the Italians, especially the Irish who lived out in the avenues, they had New York accents, almost the same. It was hard to believe the inflection. There's another area of America where the accent is very similar to New Yorkers, and that's New Orleans. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, you got to travel a little. I don't know, I got a frog in my voice. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, the question of Michelle Obama taking a trip to China at a time like this, she's leaving in a few weeks with her daughters, God bless them, her mother, God bless her, is really an outrageous story. There should be a limit to the amount of travel that a first family can take on the public dime. She wants to go to China, God bless her, let her take American Airlines. Why should she be going on so many trips at a time like this? Where is Obama getting $1 billion, $100 billion for Ukraine? Where's the money coming from? WABC Mary, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm thinking we could just blame Bush for that trip and all.
Right. Yeah, we should blame Bush for everything. I think you should go back to Nixon and say Pat Nixon did it too.
After Obama was elected, you know, Michelle read a letter from the Bush twins that they had written to the girls, the Obama girls. And maybe she just misunderstood it because the letter was very sweet and everything. It said to enjoy growing up in the White House and do everything you can. Don't miss any opportunity. Maybe Michelle took it literally.
Why not? Who's to stop her? It's nice to be queen, isn't it?
Yes, Queen Michelle.
She leads a more royalist lifestyle than Vladimir Putin's wife did. She leads a royal lifestyle equivalent to the Tsarist Russian days. Do you know that? Do you know that the Obamas are like the Romanovs in terms of the abuse of the population? The imperiousness of the Obamas in the White House is akin to the Romanovs, the Romanov dynasty. Write that down. I don't think it'll make it to the Daily Caller or any of the other sites that quote the most inane, stupid comments of the Rush cartel. That's one for you. One for the road. Thanks for making me number one. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If you don't have health insurance, you've got until the end of the month, until March 31st, to sign up. You can go to healthcare.gov or cuidadodesalud.gov.
Impeach him. Impeach him. The man is on Univision telling illegal aliens to sign up for Obamacare, and you're going to pay the bill. I'm asking you a question. I don't care if you're a Democrat, a diehard Democrat, or what. Are you people insane? Do you have any idea what this man is doing to you and to this country? Are you people this crazy that you'll support him to the end of your life because he's a Democrat and a man of color? That's the reason to support him? He is conducting an illegal act, in my non-humble opinion. You don't go and tell illegal aliens to become members of a healthcare system that to which they're not entitled unless you're out to bankrupt the country. Why is he doing this? How can anyone ever vote for a Democrat again? Now, you know why he's doing it. He's doing it simply to get more votes for the Democrat socialist machine. And you also know that without the illegal aliens, in at least four states in this country, there would not be a Democrat majority. If you eliminated, if you forced, if you, let's say, instituted what every sane nation on earth has, which is voter ID, there's not a nation on earth that does not require voter ID that I know of. Show me one nation that doesn't require photo ID. I'd like to know the name of the nation. Name it. Call the show and challenge me. Show me the nation that doesn't require voter ID. I'd like to know the name of it. There's not a sane nation on earth that would knowingly give up its sovereignty to illegal aliens and permit foreigners to take over a country without firing a shot. There is more democracy witnessed in Crimea than there is in the United States under this regime. And so here he is on Univision, going out there and telling people to sign up for Obamacare by the end of the month, which is illegal. It's illegal, it's suicidal, it's beyond comprehension. And that's why I asked you yesterday on the show. I have two titles, proposed titles for my book coming out in October, either Stop the Coming Civil War or Borders, Language, Culture, the Savage Truth. And we had the votes come in. It was 70% the latter. 70% of you said you'd rather see me publish Borders, Language, Culture, which has been the watchword of my show for over 20 years now. If you care to talk about these or any other topics, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Pardon me, I have a slight, it's the allergies. It's starting to cause a lot of, throat and voice stuff. Wow. Out of nowhere, in the middle of a show, I'll have to start drinking hot water or tea, the Frank Sinatra trick, which is just drinking tea, I think. I think he lived on high. I think tea and lemon would be good. 85, I say, already gave the number. It's like a monomaniacal thing. How do you feel about Michelle Obama taking a trip to China with her daughters and her mother at your expense and not releasing the costs? How do you feel about the rogue presidency? The only things that they haven't been able to trample and crush is Vladimir Putin. That's the only thing he hasn't been able to trample and crush is Vladimir Putin. You he crushed, me he crushed, the Constitution he crushed, the borders he crushed, the language he crushed, the culture he's crushing. The man is like a cyclops. How can he get away with this? Eleanor on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello. I want to vote for the title of your book, and I, too, choose Borders, Language, and Culture. And I want to tell you I'm a member of the Savage Nation. I have a black cap that says so.
Oh, watch out. Don't wear it around Washington, D.C. They're liable to send a drone after you.
And on the front of it, it says member, Savage Nation. On the back, it says Borders, Language, Culture.
Right, that was the original hat that I gave out many years ago. You must be a longtime listener.
Probably in the 90s sometime.
Wow. Well, okay, I'm going to accept that. We are in a cultural war, Eleanor. There's no question about it. Obama's committing a cultural war against this country.
And as far as that goes, I once heard that Charlton Heston made a speech about we're already in a civil war, a cultural civil war, to the law school at Harvard, and that was about in the late 90s, 98 or 99.
Yes, but it hasn't ended. They're not through. See, there are many things that they haven't yet achieved. They think that they've committed their final act against us, but they haven't. They're just warming up. There's many other topics, including accents around the country, which Stefan picked up on KSFO. Stefan, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to call you about my 83-year-old grandfather who grew up in San Francisco. He's a Swiss immigrant, and he has a East Coast-sounding accent, even though we have no family from the East Coast.
Yeah, it's amazing, but the original San Francisco accent was very East Coast. No one knows why, it's very odd that people who live here today don't even know that.
Yeah, he's actually an avid listener of you as well, and I've been listening to you since, gosh, I was 13 years old. I'm 26 now.
where does your grandfather live?
College liberal.
Where does your grandfather live, Stefan?
He lives in the South Bay area now. He's a Korea vet. He's very salty, as he would say.
Yes, it's another time and another place. Well, thank you and thank him for making this show so big on KSFO. We smashed Hannity on the other station. My audience is three times larger than his in the latest February ratings book, and I thank you very much for helping make that happen. The show is going to really take off from this point. I know how it works. I've been in the business long enough to know that when you hit a certain critical point, it starts to really surge, and I want to thank you for making that happen and telling your friends out there to listen to the show. For as long as I'm on the air, I hope you'll continue to listen. Joe Wilson yelled. I don't know who Joe Wilson is. I have no idea. Yeah. KFTL, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I have a question for you. First of all, it's a pleasure to speak with you again. I got through one other time. I went to deposit cash in my bank account. A couple blocks from the house, I ran out and left my wallet. My bank would not accept a cash deposit into my account with a deposit slip because I didn't have identification. What is
That's
this
right.
about?
Right. Why? But you're not allowed to bring ID to a voter ID booth. The little old ladies in tennis sneakers from the left-wing fanatic board will say to you, oh, no, you can't show ID in here. I brought ID. They won't look at it. Because then if you start demanding voter ID, they're liable to have to make certain that the illegal aliens from Mexico and China wouldn't be able to vote. And then, of course, they couldn't have triple and quadruple voting around California, Florida, and New York, and Illinois. It's that simple. I had a friend who just visited an island nation in the Caribbean. I think it was, I don't know, one of the island nations. And they said to her, of course we need voter ID. Are you crazy? We wouldn't think of it. We don't want Venezuelans voting in our election. Now, why do we put up with this? I don't understand it. I don't know why we don't demand it. Why? Because we don't have a two-party system and we have no media to speak of. Why? Can anyone challenge me, please? Pick up my challenge. Help me with this. Show me that I'm a knuckle-grabbing, ignoramus, right-wing fool. Name one country on earth that has no voter ID. I'd like to hear the name of the country. I want to know. I want to learn which country has no voter ID. I'd like to know. Please explain it to me. Please explain it to me. I'm not educated enough to figure that one out. Why would you block voter ID? The Congressional Black Caucus called it racist to demand voter ID. How does that figure? How does that figure that you're a racist if you want someone to prove that they are entitled to vote in your district? How does that work? How do you explain that to me? How? Do you realize if there was voter ID, Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer never would have been elected, probably, and they wouldn't be in office? Then Dianne Feinstein could continue her paranoid fantasies about drones outside her window on her own, you know, in Napa State Hospital instead of in the U.S. Senate. I can't believe the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee goes on CBS and says that a toy airplane outside her window was a drone. And she's not immediately removed? I'm sorry, we can't have you there. You can't be on the Senate Intelligence Committee anymore. We're taking the toy away from you, Dianne. You're only using it to steer contracts anyway, but anyway, let's put that aside. Unbelievable to me. Okay, let's go to the callers. WBRC in Connecticut. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was touched by something you said earlier about suicide. I can't catch my breath. I've had three family members over a span of 32 years who took their lives, my mother, my brother, and my cousin,
And oh God, that's awful. That's really terrible. I mean, you're sitting there on the edge of a diving board.
And a 13, my ex-girlfriend's 13-year-old son back in 1996. So that makes four.
What, did you say your son committed suicide as well?
My ex-girlfriend's son. He was 13 years old in 1996, and he committed suicide. So
why are you surrounded by people like this? I mean, in your family, that's genetic. There's something genetic there. But outside the family, how does that figure?
I don't know, but I can tell you that I won't get into it too much, but I was raised in an abusive childhood from both of my parents, and I actually almost reached that point a couple times myself.
Okay, how did you pull yourself back from that precipice?
Well, first of all, I met a wonderful woman in my church in 7 years ago, and we found out that we were both abused as children. And at one point or another, we both, before we met each other, obviously, we both had contemplated suicide. And I'll tell you.
Yeah, but I'm talking about you individually and the many folks who listen to the show who are very, very adamantly listening to what you're saying. Because you're not the only one who's thought about it in his life. How did you pull yourself back when you didn't know this woman? There must have been mental techniques that you used.
My strong faith, and then plus I started thinking about all the pain that my relatives caused me by, you know, and I thought, geez, I don't want to do
that. Right. Now think about, now that's the most important thing that we've said on the show today regarding suicide. It's about the most selfish act a person can engage in. Because what you're doing is you're hurting everyone around you for three generations, maybe more. And it's especially true if you have children in your family. You absolutely have no right to do this to anyone unless you absolutely want to devastate them.
No,
and that's the thing to remember. It's the most selfish act a person can commit. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. The White House is saying it's a real treat for Michelle Obama to take her mom and daughters to China with you paying for it. First Lady Michelle Obama, quote, has been looking for an opportunity to go to China, a White House official said on Monday, and she considered it as a real treat to take her daughters and a mama with her on a trip she's making at considerable taxpayer expense, although the White House refuses to release a dollar figure. How do you feel about paying for the First Lady's trip to China? After all, she's going to get to educate her children. I think Mrs. Robinson is entitled to a trip. After all, she's the mother-in-law. Shouldn't you pay for that as well? And then she's taking her number one advisor, Tina Chen. Never heard of her, huh? Never heard of Tina Chen? Who was the number one advisor next to the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, who's taking her over the Pacific to China. When asked how much the trip will cost, Deputy National Security Advisor, another moron, who didn't know where the missing plane is, didn't know what happened in the Ukraine, doesn't know where Crimea is, but he knew how to tell you to eat it. He said, as a general matter, we don't disclose the details associated with the security of either the president or the first lady. We didn't ask about security. We asked about the price. So this is the kind of rogue presidency that we have. 855-400-7282. I don't know whether to talk about Crimea. It's a done deal. It's over. That's why it's been dropped from the news, because the rogue president cannot trample on Putin the way he tramples on the U.S. Constitution and the American people. And so, therefore, the vermin in the media are forgetting Crimea. It's a done deal. And now on to something else. I guess anything except the fact that Obama has been crushed by Putin. I don't know if we should talk about the missing plane. What more can you say that hasn't been said? It took 10 days for the Thai military to release news that a radar blip could have been the flight that's missing. Okay, maybe there's something in the curry in Thailand. I don't know. There's nothing more to be said about that. You know, there's certain topics. There's nothing more to be said about. It's that simple. Why talk about something that we can't control? Well, I guess if I use that rule, we'd have nothing to talk about at all, since we're nothing but peons in the world of the mind controllers. Ron Paul, by the way, had the best editorial on the Crimean situation. It was in USA Today. It was simple, to the point, and he said, Crimea secedes, so what? Now, most illiterates will transliterate that to Crimea succeeds, so what? That's because they never went past certain talk shows and radio. But it's something else. It's not Crimea succeeds. For you illegal aliens who don't know the language, there is a difference between success and secession. And I think you need to check your 30 days to a more powerful American vocabulary. Crimea secedes, so what? And what he writes, and what I underline, is one line. He said, perhaps the U.S. officials who supported the unconstitutional overthrow of Ukraine's government should refocus their energies on learning our own constitution, which does not allow the U.S. government to overthrow governments overseas or send $1 billion to bail out Ukraine and its international creditors. You hear this? You hear this? He then says, though the Obama administration has applied some minimal sanctions on selected Russian and Crimean individuals, neither U.S. nor the EU can afford significant sanctions against Russia. Listen to why, all of you geniuses in economics. Global trade provides too much economic benefit to both sides. Indeed, he writes, international markets rallied on news that the sanctions would be thus far minimal. Okay? I thought it was a very good editorial. Just know this. There is more democracy in Crimea than there is in America. Let me be very clear. There is more democracy in Crimea than there is under this rogue president here in America. The man acts as though it's a dictatorship and no one else exists and you can all go you know where. That's his attitude. It's screw you. I'll do what the heck I want and drop dead. You can't touch me. Because if he really cared about this country, before he passed these laws that devastate and decimate our institutions, our borders, our language, our culture, there would be a vote on it. That's what a sane democracy would do. They'd say, all right, what do the people think? Here's a simple, straight-up question for the American people. Should we grant amnesty to the illegal aliens in this country? Now, you know how that would turn out. 95-5, no. 95-5, no. And yet a small group of criminal politicians who were owned lock, stock, and barrel by the immigrant mafia.
Savage.
We're talking about planes, presidents, pens, and peninsulas on the Savage Nation. And, of course, you know the topics. So, you know, there's a blessing in the fact that we have a terrible president when you think about that. I want you to think about that. No one's seen it my way. You know, I see things in a fifth dimension. I think God put Obama here so that we would avoid a nuclear war. And that's a very good thing to have a weak president. But think about if we had a Reagan in the office. I want you to think about it. And Putin said, I'm going to take the peninsula on Monday. And then the guy says, no, you won't. And they move ship. What, you want missiles to start flying? Because that's the option. And you know this man is not going to do that. So it's a good thing that we have a weak president. It's God's will. See, as I get older, I start to see things through the eyes of a spiritual man. It's spiritually advanced to look at the world that way, instead of eating my heart out over every time he uses a pen and a stool. Pen and a stool, pen and a stool, pen and a stool. Can his pen stop an earthquake in Los Angeles? No. Can his pen stop a speeding bullet? No. Can his pen stop a speeding train? No. Can his pen find a lost plane? No. But his pen can be used to intimidate his domestic enemies. For example, Harry Reid was about to be indicted or investigated, and Eric Holder, if you can believe it, pulled the FBI off the investigation of corruption. Could you believe how corrupt this government is? That Harry Reid was about to be investigated by FBI agents looking into some this or that, and Eric Holder, the highest law enforcement official in America, pulled off the FBI agents, off the case. Obama and his administration are like an autoimmune disease of the body politic. I'll repeat it in case you didn't write it down and send it on to the NSA. President Obama and his administration are like an autoimmune disease of the body politic. They attack the body itself. Rather than defending the body politic, they attack the body politic like an autoimmune disease. But then again, you'd have to study epidemiology for a few seconds to know what that means. I'm sure by now the average educated person knows what an autoimmune disease is, since so many people suffer from them. And I think it's fairly common knowledge what an autoimmune disease, whether it be one infection or another. It's when the body's defense cells turn on the body itself. And when you have a government like this, which is acting like an autoimmune disease, What we need is an antiviral medication to save us from it. We need something to turn off the immune system called the Obama administration before it kills the entire body politic. We're living in a world of warlords, kleptocracy. I love what McCain said, that Russia is a gas station masquerading as a country. It's a kleptocracy. Well, under Obama, this is a kleptocracy. Under Obama, it's corruption. And what's even more ironic is that under Putin, Russia is a nation that's really only dependent upon oil and gas for their economy. I wish we were dependent on oil and gas. What is this economy based upon? Websites and printing money. We used to be dependent on oil and gas. We still could be free of the Arab oil sheik gangsters if we'd frack and run oil in from Canada and start building those refineries that we need, you know, to change the shale into liquid natural gas in the Gulf, which is going to happen anyway. But, you know, there's such hypocrisy here. It's something to behold. It's overwhelming hypocrisy. Here's Obama and McCain saying that self-determination is a threat to U.S. national security. Can you believe this? That we support self-determination when it's in our interests, and we oppose self-determination when it's not in our interests? You know, think about that. And this is a very dangerous time for that reason. 4.4 mag rocks westward. Apparently the great one couldn't stop the earthquake with his pen. The Crimeans toasted the future with Moscow, and apparently the great one couldn't stop it with the pen. What else? Lightning strikes twice. Where is the larger dictatorship? Is it in the Ukraine or the Crimea, where they just voted, or in America, where our president rules with a phone and a pen? Will a new Soviet empire emerge from all of this? Should we fear a new Soviet empire? Or how do you feel about this? Does the weakness of Obama encourage Putin to be bold in his actions? There was a vote for secession in Crimea. By the way, the Russians in New York, this is an interesting sub-story. I understand in New York the Russians are celebrating. There were many house parties last night all over New York. If you are of Ukrainian descent, there's probably not been house parties. So think about it. You've got Russians in New York celebrating. Then you have Ukrainians, let's say, in New York not celebrating. They're very angry. No, they're very unhappy, and rightly so. They've lost. They're frightened. And let's be clear here. If I were of Ukrainian descent, I'd be very unhappy, and I'd be very worried. Let's be very clear. I would not want to become a colony of Russia. I wouldn't want to become a colony of Russia. And the fact is, they don't want to become a colony of Russia. Okay? So I'll take your calls on these topics. As far as the plane theory goes, what can we say? What can we say about the plane theory right now? Where is this plane? I tell you, I'm again taking an educated guess. It's the Uyghur separatists. It's a hard name to pronounce, so you don't see it much in the media because no one knows how to spell it. Think about why ABC, NBC, and CBS aren't running Uyghur separatists anymore. They can't spell it. They can spell Earth and Quake. They know how to spell Putin and Obama. They've learned how to spell Crimea. That took 3 weeks to learn how to spell Crimea. It took a month for them to say Ukraine instead of the Ukraine. How are they going to learn how to say Uyghur overnight? This is going to take day after. Imagine Wolf Blitzer learning how to say Uyghur. He has to stand in front of a mirror while not shaving and say Uyghur. Now say it again, Wolf. Okay, Wolf, say we. Say gur. Now put it together. Uyghur. No. Not Uyghur. Uyghur. Okay, now put the two together, Wolf. One, two, three. Uyghur. No, not Uyghur. It's Uyghur. There are places they can't pronounce, so that's why they're not even reporting on it. It makes them look stupid. Same with things they can't spell. Where is that plane? Last week I opined a guess that it was lost on Kim Kardashian's behind, but no one followed up on that one. All right, let's let it go. It's too much for the average mind to encompass. No, you see, my mind runs. See, I have a limitless capacity to imagine things, both as a free thinker and as a highly trained cultural anthropologist along the way, a real master's degree with very good publications. But I have a fertile imagination. You know, you're only as good as an academician or as a scientist as your brains anyway. Doesn't matter what your degree is. You can have all the degrees in the world and be as dumb as a doorpost. Or you could be uneducated and have a fine imagination and be able to articulate it. But that's how I see things. So now we come to America today. Where does that leave us? It leaves us with a guy in the White House who has a pen and a stool, and he substitutes that for democracy. And I'm supposed to sit here and listen to this and say, what's wrong with this picture? Where is the plane? He knows all about Crimea and about the cultural integrity of Ukraine, but he doesn't respect our national sovereignty. I really would like to hear that we're going to let ourselves vote on whether or not we want amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens. Make it an up-down yes or no vote. Make it a yes or no vote for the American people. Let's stop with he can decide or they can decide, whoever lobbies these criminals more. I'm sick of it. Make it simple. I want to vote. Do you want amnesty for 30 million Mexicans or not? Yes or no? Up-down vote for the American people. Screw the politicians. Screw them. Let's see the 95% who say no. Then what is he going to do? Tell us that he doesn't respect democracy and he'll do it anyway? Are you kidding me? You know, don't get me started. I lose my temper very seldom lately for a number of reasons. One, it doesn't pay. And two, I'm not trying to imitate Frito. Okay, so that's number two. He has 24 mind-blowing facts about marijuana production in America. Are you ready? All of you potheads, pay attention. You thought your pot came from environmentally conscious hippies, right? No. The way dope is grown in America is anything but sustainable and organic. It's a polluting weed. Did you know that? Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, you thought you were doing something good for the environment? Really? Of the 22 million pounds of dope grown each year in the United States, 80% comes from California, Tennessee, Kentucky, Hawaii, and Washington. All right? So what does that mean? Well, let's see. That's trash, fertilizers, pesticides, propane, car batteries, illegal dams, and irrigation piping. And the destruction of our native redwoods. Did you hear that? You didn't know that. An indoor grow module accommodating four plants sucks as much electricity as 29 refrigerators. Did you know that, hippies? Hey, hippies, in California, indoor marijuana grows account for 9% of household electricity use. How's that for sustainability, pothead? Hey, potheads, nationwide, the electricity used by indoor grows is enough to power 1.7 million homes. That's the equivalent of seven large power plants. Hey, hippies, for every pound of pot grown indoors, 4,600 pounds of carbon dioxide goes into the atmosphere, Al. Did you know that? Hey, hippies, the production and distribution of pot in America emits as much carbon as 3 million cars, potheads. Hey, potheads, the energy needed to produce a single joint is enough to produce 18 pints of beer. Hey, pothead greenies, it also creates emissions comparable to burning a 100-watt light bulb for 25 hours. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? Guess you didn't know a lot of things. You don't know where the airplane is. You don't know who did it. You have no idea what ethnicity might be involved or what religion might be involved in hijacking. You don't know the president is a crypto dictator. You don't know that Putin took a peninsula because he had to, because he was forced into it, by an illegal act on the part of the United States and the EU in overturning an election in Ukraine, or else this wouldn't happen. Never forget how this bowling game started. That's why they want you to legalize pot. So you can keep sucking your brain into your you-know-where. Well, anyway, if you want to read all of this, it's in Mother Jones. Mother Jones wrote that? That it's not a sustainable crop? My goodness, how could that be? That's almost journalism. How could that be? How could that be? The most dangerous drug on earth is marijuana. Why? Because, see, it's called dope for a reason, boys and girls. Your mathematical skills are reduced. Your ability to drive, to pilot an airplane, your ability to do most everything except fornicate is decreased on marijuana. The only thing marijuana improves your abilities in is fornication and digestion. But other than that, there's no reason to use it. I heard about the medical garbage. I heard about it. So take Marinol. Okay, you're using it to get high under the guise of legalized pot. It was started by George Soros. I argued over this in 98 with one of his stooges. I remember when they passed the bill. But, you know, I don't believe the government should control it anyway. You want to use it and poison yourself? Decriminalize it. You want to poison your brain. You want to limit your abilities in society. You want to limit your capacities to work, your capacity to work and to be a productive citizen. Go ahead. Go ahead. Make yourself into a bigger idiot than your mother said you were. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
As we roll into the end of hour number three on the winning, prize-winning, numero uno Savage Nation today for the 18th of March in the year 2014, what are the headlines? The headlines are the fireball. What fireball? Well, there is none. I just wanted to get your attention. It's called a reverse fireball called Obama, who's fizzling out like a bad rocket. New world leader is Putin, while Obama's slinking away into the place where he started, which is Nowheresville. Meanwhile, Michelle Obama and her mother, her two kids, plus about 70 White House aides and security personnel are going to tour China this month. They're going to China, and they will not release the cost to the taxpayer, saying that, as a general matter, we don't disclose the details associated with the security of either the president or the first lady. Well, we didn't ask for the security. People in the media asked for the cost. But apparently to Michelle Obama, cost is of no matter whatsoever. As you know, Russia and Crimea have signed a treaty of accession. Biden heads to Europe to send another signal to Putin. I guess he's going to carry his trusty water gun. And according to investors.com, Obama's most transparent presidency in history is not. As you well know, it's the most secretive presidency in history because he's the most unqualified at any speed. Now, you've all heard this before, so it's old news, so I won't repeat it. McCain is a warmonger. Look at michaelsavage.com, especially the sound that we played today, which showed you how anxious he is to send weapons and fight. Obama, meanwhile, welcomed the PLO, or what is he today, the Hamas leader Abbas, into the White House and praised him for being someone who consistently renounced violence. That's a lie. In fact, we'll play the cuckoo clock again. Biden says Russia is alone and naked in front of the entire world, which is so ludicrous. I mean, what is he on? What Doritos is he eating? Who is naked and alone in the world? Is it Putin or is it Obama? I'll let you decide. I report, you decide. Or shall I say, I decide and you report what I decide. Putin says the U.S. is guided by a policy of the gun in foreign policy. Pakistan, India, and the Taliban, they say, we know nothing about missing plane. We know nothing about missing plane. Well, that's interesting. If you go to michaelsavage.com, which I want you to go to and get my free newsletter already. Stop, so I don't have to say it again. I want you to understand that the Maldives, the island nation of the Maldives, witnessed a report of a low-flying plane. At least that's what's being reported in the Telegraph UK. Maldive witnesses report seeing low-flying jet on the morning that the Malaysian Flight 370 disappeared. And we don't know whether that's factual or someone's looking for a little news coverage. Maybe this is another theory that's just crazy. I certainly don't believe the stupidity that the plane was landed and could be used by terrorist groups. I think that's insane. Totally insane. Peter King is as crazy as all of them. Not Peter King from New York, who suggests the Chinese have doctored some of their satellite images to hide the sophistication of their systems. I don't understand this. So here are some of the theories out there. Hijacked by pilot or crew, terrorism from Muslim pilot, terrorism by Muslim co-pilot, hijacked by Muslim passenger, mechanical failure by no religion, fire in the cockpit by no religion, hypoxia by no religion, cyber hijack by no religion, attempted 9/11 style hijack by Irish nuns, diverted to Somalia by Irish nuns or returning American war veterans or people against abortion, a conspiracy by the Taliban or those who oppose abortion or those who are homophobic. Yeah, okay, you get it. It's no laughing matter, but all we've got left is ridicule and laughter. Ridicule and laughter. Ridicule and laughter. Meanwhile, back at the Savage Ranch, what else is new? Two are dead in a Seattle copter crash. The news crew was apparently lifting off from a rooftop when it possibly hit the side of the building and went down near the Space Needle. Condolences to the families. Now, finally, the Thai military say a radar blip could have been Flight 370. 10 days it took the Thais to tell us that. That's why I warn you, it's out the Thai food. There's something in those servers.
Mark Levin.
Raise taxes? Is he insane?
3 to 6 weekdays on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.